Matthew chapter 16, we'll begin with verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Or he asked his disciples, "When you're out among people, who do they think I am?" And they told him, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some others think you're Elijah, some of them think you're Jeremiah. They all think you're one of the prophets," or something like that. He said to them, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" That's a good question. If I could make it personal, if Jesus is standing before us, and he asked us this same question, how would you answer him? None of them answered except Simon Peter. And Simon answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." How does Peter know that? Jesus commended him and replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Probably if that were one of us, our chest would stick out, and we would say, "Wow, I got it right." Actually, Jesus said to Peter, "You didn't get that because you've walked with me for 2 years. You didn't get that because you've watched me. You got that, or you know the answer to that, because my Father who is in heaven revealed that to you." What a compliment. Peter is able to have a revelation from God and understand it. Understood it so much that he answered correctly, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." There's something unique about Peter here. God is constantly revealing himself, and I'm afraid we are constantly missing it. And sometimes if we see it, understand it, many times we don't want to adjust our lives to fit what we see or what we understand. Peter understood that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of a living God. And Jesus commends him for that. And probably in the eyes of these other apostles, he is elevated at this time for one reason, because he listened to God. Look down at verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hands of the elders chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Apparently, just following this discussion that we've had about who Jesus is, he starts to inform these apostles that he is going to Jerusalem and is going to suffer at the hands of religious people. He is going to be killed and then on the third day be raised again. Or he starts teaching them the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He starts teaching them the purpose for his coming to this earth. This man who has just been elevated in the eyes of others, when Jesus starts this teaching, takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him. Look at it in verse 22. Peter took him, Jesus, aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord. Those two words don't go together. Never, Lord, Peter said. Can you even imagine this scene? Peter seemingly gets a hold of Jesus' arm, leads him aside from the other 11, and begins to rebuke him. Rebuke Jesus? He must feel like at this point that he has something from God that gives him the ability to straighten Jesus out. And so he rebukes him and says to him, Lord, that's not going to happen to you. I refuse to let that happen. Do you think Jesus' dander got up a little bit? He turned to Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God. What did he just told him? You only got that because God in heaven revealed that to you. Now, apparently, just a little later, he said to him, You are a stumbling block to me because you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. So in this short period of time, in this 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, Peter goes from having the things of God in his mind to having the things of man in his mind. Which do you think impressed Jesus the most? It certainly was not the fact that he thought like man thinks, but it was that he was able to understand the revelation of God and put it into practice in his life. Very quickly, if you'll follow me, I will be. What is it that Satan is trying to do through Peter in this passage of Scripture? He is trying to thwart the purpose of Jesus on this earth. You see, Jesus came to bring salvation. If Peter has his way, there will be no salvation. If Peter's thoughts are able to be accomplished, and this isn't the only time he tries this. You remember when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden? What did Peter do? He grabbed his sword and started swinging in the midst of 100 soldiers. There's one sword, Peter has it, and he grabs it and starts swinging to prevent Jesus from being arrested. He's totally intent on keeping Jesus from dying on the cross. Is there something wrong with that? Yeah. Because Jesus dying on the cross was the purpose for which Christ came. So, actually, Peter is trying to determine what's best for Jesus to do in his life. This isn't much of an illustration, but it would be like me trying to tell Wayne Cronin what he ought to do with his life. And you guys who know Wayne Cronin know how stupid I would be to even think that I could tell him what to do. I mean, Nina can't straighten him out, so how could I? That'd be a similar deal. But that's what Peter's trying to do. Peter's trying to tell Jesus, you are not going to come on this earth, walk with me for 3 years, and be crucified and die on a cross. I'm not going to let that happen. That makes me think of Isaiah 53 so much. I want you to turn there for a minute. Isaiah chapter 53. Let me start reading with verse 4. For in Isaiah 53, Isaiah gives a picture of the Lord Jesus way back before Jesus was ever born. Verse 4 says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. While he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, Isaiah said we considered him stricken by God, smitten by God, and afflicted. Scoot down to verse 10. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. The King James said, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. The beating that Jesus took, the spikes in his hands and feet, the crown of thorns on his head, the agony of death on the cross was not at the hands of sinful man. But at the hands of his Father. Why? Verse 6. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. the punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. Justice is demanded when injustices are done. And God's justice is no different. When injustices, ungodliness, impurity is done, justice is demanded by the Father. And when injustices are done, there can be no peace until justice has been accomplished. I grew up different than most of you guys. I'm looking here because you're young. I'm old. One time I was young like you. Someday you'll be old like me. That's not a good thought, is it? I grew up in the mountains of North Carolina in a small community. I didn't have a cell phone. There were no cell towers at that time. I didn't have a computer to play games on. They were invented since then. I didn't even have a TV in the house. I'm about to tell my age. In fact, there was one TV in the community. Sometimes my brother and I would go over to Garfield's house and watch The Lone Ranger. I still watch it if I get a chance. Early spring, Garfield sowed seeds of tobacco in the tobacco bed. Those plants would grow up in that bed. He would pull those plants and put them in the ground in rows. That tobacco would grow. They would cut it down in the fall, hang it in a barn until it cured, and then grade those leaves and tie them up together, different ones, and then take them to the market and sell them. Garfield had his tobacco bed out one night when we were there. My brother and I went home, and as we were walking up by the tobacco bed, we started rolling rocks across the bed. Some of you have heard this. I had no intention of destroying that bed. That tobacco bed had a canvas across it. Canvas is a little heavy, I guess. Just a piece of very thin cloth so it would protect those seedlings when they came up. The farther we got up the hill from the bed, we decided we'd see if we could throw rocks over the bed. No intention to destroy that. And we went on home. Went to school the next day. And when we got home from school, Mother said, "I want to talk to you boys." By the way, my dad was gone before I even remember him being there. So Mother was both. And she earned that position very well. I would have done anything for her. We had peace in our home. We didn't have a lot of food sometimes, but we had peace. All the time. Peace. She made sure of that. That didn't mean I didn't get whippings. Many of them needed more than I got. But Mother said, "I want to talk to you. I have heard that you boys rocked Garfield's tobacco bed." Guess how we responded? No, we didn't. that wasn't totally a lie. We had no intentions of rocking his bed, throwing rocks at it. We intended to see who could throw the rock the farthest. Some of them happened to hit it. And when they hit it, they drove holes through it. And somebody watched us. That's bad. And we told Mother, no, we didn't. But down on the inside, we knew something wasn't right. And the rest of the day, there was no peace in our home. Next morning when we got up to go to school, Mother said, boys, I'm going to ask you one more time. Did you rock the tobacco bed? And we said, no, we didn't. She said, I will find out before you get home from school. Did you rock the tobacco bed? No, Mother, we did not. And we left and went to school. That day at school was not a peaceful day. Because we both knew full well that when we got home, Mother would know. And when we came home, we didn't have to look twice at her to know that she knew. There was no peace between me and someone that anything could work and bring peace. She invited us to go out to the tree and pick our switch. Sap had just come back in the trees and it was very flexible. And she used it like she knew how. But that night, there was peace in our home. You know why? Because justice had been satisfied for the wrongdoing. Can I read verse 5 again? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, he took. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You ever wonder what produced Gethsemane? There you are. And the Lord has laid on him my iniquity and your iniquity. And because he's punished for my ungodly deeds, I can have peace with the Father. That's the crux of the gospel. Why don't you turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and follow me for a couple of verses. Begin with verse 3. Paul said, for what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Herein is the gospel. This this truth that Peter is trying to prevent from happening. Jesus hung on the cross, was smitten by His Father to pay for our injustice in order that we could have peace with the Father. And when He was buried, 3 days later, the Spirit of God came back into that body and He arose victorious over death, over hell, and over the grave. This same Paul who penned this in 1 Corinthians, in Galatians, I think chapter 6, he said, God forbid that I boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus, by which the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I don't want to boast about who wins what. I don't want to boast about what I've accomplished. I don't want to boast about what I have. I don't want to boast about anything except the cross. Because in the cross is the embodiment of the gospel that is able to save men's soul. So Paul said, I don't want to boast about anything except the cross. Paul seemed to look at the cross as a place of death that life came out of. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want you to look at one other verse, Romans chapter 1. We've dealt with this verse in Sunday school several weeks now. Verse 16. Paul again is the author. Listen to what he said. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power, don't miss it, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because only in the gospel, only in the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. I think that verse says, you cannot have salvation apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think that verse says, the only way I can go to heaven is because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, in the gospel, salvation is given to everyone who believes. Now listen, that's not a historical belief. That is not a belief that says, I know historically that there was a man called Jesus and I know he died on the cross and I believe that. This passage in Romans 1 verse 16 says, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to everyone who realizes that he has done injustices to himself and to every other command of God, who understands that he is a sinner separated from God, and who will believe in his heart that Jesus Christ bore his punishment on the tree and will give his life to that and accept that, he has salvation. Just because you believe historically it happened will not take you to heaven. Just because you do good religious deeds will not take you to heaven. Just because you come down the aisle and join a church and are baptized in the baptistry does not mean you're going to heaven. Nothing could be clearer than this passage of Scripture. In the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation. If we will believe He took our place, then we can have peace with Him. Punishment for sin must happen. Salvation can only come because justice is meted out. If you will accept Him, judgment was meted out at the cross. It doesn't matter if you've preached a lot of sermons. It doesn't matter if you've taught a lot of classes. It doesn't matter if you've sung in the choir a lot. It doesn't matter if you've been on visitation a lot. It doesn't matter if you have your own seat in the congregation and nobody ever gets it because they know you're going to be there. What matters is, am I aware of my injustices and my sin? And have I believed what God said when Jesus took my punishment on the cross? And have I accepted His punishment in payment for my sin by faith in His blood? Is that true of you? If it is, you can stand on a foundation that can say, I know that I've been forgiven by the grace of God and that I'm going home when He comes for me or comes back, as Tom sang. But if that hasn't happened in your heart, nothing else matters. Nothing. Why don't you stand and bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray. If this morning the Spirit of God has revealed to you a need in your heart, and you want to come and let Him meet that need, will you come? If the Spirit of God has spoken to you and you just not certain that's true in you, why don't you come and let Him make it certain in your heart? Father, will You speak to us? Will You help us to understand Your Spirit when You speak? And Lord, will you challenge our hearts as we leave this building? May each and every one of us know whether or not we have peace with you. And if there's one among us that does not know that, will you bring conviction in such a way that causes them to seek you? For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Now time to continue to worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings. So as I pray, the ushers will prepare your hearts to give this morning. Lord, thank you for your love and your mercy, your kindness and your goodness, for how you provide for us. We, in this season of Thanksgiving, Lord, we just want to be extra thankful, Lord. I just pray today that